Amen. Good morning, church. You know, the song Mike sung here, "For God So Loved," you know, we know the scripture comes from, we know it well, John 3:16. Do you realize how unconditional God's love is when he said that verse? Do you know that? "For God so loved the world." Now, let me ask you a question. Does the world love God? No way. But God loved the world so much that he gave his son, even though the world doesn't love him. Isn't that amazing? That is unconditional love. That is unconditional love this morning. I think about that and I look about that and I'm thinking, man, God, you know what? That's a kind of love that you and I can't understand unless we have the Spirit of God flowing in us. We can't understand that love. But one day God loved me. He loved Tony. He loved Beth. He loved everybody in this place enough that no matter what, whether we loved him or not at the time, he still loved us. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord this morning. I'm going to be over in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, if you want to turn there with me this morning. Romans 8, beginning with verse 31, whenever you get down to it, it's this very familiar scripture. The title of my message this morning is "Batten Down the Hatches." And I will get into it more as we go down through it. But we know that you've heard the term before, have you not? Where it says "batten down the hatches," an old nautical term. Whenever a storm's approaching, the captain would tell the crew to go down and batten down the hatches to seal them up so whenever the storm hits that the water wouldn't get into the lower parts of the ship and cause havoc. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's telling us to batten down the hatches. He's telling us that, whether individually or whether as a church, whatever it may be, God is telling us to batten down the hatches. Romans 8, 31, starting with verse 31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or perils, or swords? As it is written, for they spake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us." Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, again this morning, Lord, I pray, Father, again, asking for the anointing. Father, I pray for the Spirit to flow amongst the service this morning, Lord. I pray for hearts to be open this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would bless us, bless it, Lord, and Father, that, Lord, that you would lift us up and bring us close to you, Lord. And Father, as we look at the Scripture this morning, Lord, that you would help us to understand that you are hope, that you are God, that for all that we say and do, Lord, you're the one, Lord, that's there for us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have anyone or someone that's on your side this morning? I want to ask you that. Someone who always has your back. I've preached on that before. Someone that believes in you this morning. Do you have that this morning? No matter what's going on in your life, can you say that I have this person? This person, this one that will stand beside me no matter what is going on in my life, no matter what I do in my life. Do you have that person? Sometimes, you know, even our best of friends and family don't have our back. You understand that, don't you? You've probably been there sometime in your life where someone that may be close to you or someone that is right there with you, you know what you thought that would be there no matter what's not there. They don't have your back at that time. Here in Romans, Paul asked the question right there in that first verse. He asked it. He said, "What shall we say to this?" And guess what Paul does? He goes on to answer his own question with one of the most beautiful pieces of scripture I believe that there is in the new, found in the Bible or anywhere. If God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't that awesome scripture? As I read that, as I was studying on that down through the week, I thought, isn't that the scripture that we need? Whenever things are coming our way or coming upon us and trials and tribulations, and maybe we think that we can't trust or we don't have the someone that's got our back, we can say, if God be for us, no matter what else, if God be for us, guess what? Who can be against us? What can be against us? I'm here to tell you this morning, nothing. I'm here to tell you nothing if God is for us. Could anything be stronger than the encouragement of faith that that scripture should bring to us? Tell me that there's nothing that could be any stronger than the encouragement of hearing those words and saying those words in our mind. If God's for me, man, what or who can be against me? The same God that controls the events of this world, controls the events in our lives. That's the same God that we're talking about whenever I read that scripture right there to you. This same God who controls all these things, who works all things for our good, whether or not we understand it at the time or not. Romans 8:28 says it. And this is all very familiar scripture I'm going to read to you today. Scripture that I've preached on before. But it says, and we know that all things work together to good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I understand that is hard scripture. Ed, I understand that's hard scripture this morning. Nancy, I understand that's hard scripture this morning. I understand in my life it's hard scripture. And in your life, there's something going on in your life this morning. That is hard scripture. That all things work together for them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. That's hard. But I'm here to tell you, I believe it. I believe it this morning. Because if God be for us, who or what can be against us? God's not our enemy. He is our friend. Let's just bring that point across this morning. For so many times, we think when we are facing things in our life that God is an enemy to us. I'm here to tell you this morning, God is not our enemy. I want to drive that home this morning because I believe that God has drove it home in my heart down through the week. You know, I'm not above anything that I am preaching here this morning. This preacher has doubts. Do you understand that sometimes? Do you understand? I'm a mortal, human, flesh and blood. I have all the things that go through your mind and through your hearts at times, goes through mine. It goes through it. When things don't go our way, we think God doesn't care or that He's on our side. Maybe we think that He's not on our side. Maybe we think that He doesn't care. We question God. Have you ever questioned God? I'll be the first to raise my hand. I've questioned what God's doing. I'll be the first to raise my hand and tell you that this morning. I'm not beyond that. Again, let me repeat, if God be for us, who or what can be against us? Yes, we have enemies of the flesh. We do. We all face them. Every day of our life, we face the enemies of our flesh. I like Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of wickedness, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'm here to tell you, evil days are coming if they have not come upon your life. Days where we're doubt. Days where it seems like everything's against us. Days where we question what is God doing in our lives. I'm here to tell you this morning, if God be for us, who can be against us? Yet does Romans tell us that? They cannot prevail. They cannot triumph over us as believers. Why? Even if God permitted them to do their worst, they cannot destroy what counts the most. These whole bodies can, sickness can overcome these bodies and tear us down to where we're nothing. But guess what? That sickness cannot touch the soul.
Amen.
It cannot touch what counts. It cannot touch what God has given us for eternity. And that is the soul. Jesus, Matthew 10:28, Jesus said it. These are words in red. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I'm here to tell you, if this body has to be torn down by sickness, I want the soul to be healthy, don't you? I don't want to end up in a place where the body and soul will spend eternity in a hell one of these days. I would rather, if this body has to go back to dust, praise God, the soul is going to go live with Jesus one of these days. If we are right, and He is telling us, don't fear them that are able to destroy this body. Don't fear that which is able to tear down in this natural realm. The evidence is clear. I'm here to tell you this morning, God cannot be doubted. Am I right on that? When we reflect on the things that He has already done for you and I, what He has done for us and brought us from. But preacher, you know, what's going on in my life this morning? My loved ones are sick. I got loved ones in pain and are suffering. Confusion and doubt are in my mind. I'm going to church. I'm serving God the best that I can. I'm doing all those things. God, I'm wondering if God is really for me. Or really loves me, really cares for me. I'm not putting you down, folks. Listen to me. I told you before, I've been there. I know. I know what you're talking about. It was brought back up to me this past week. What do you think I'm preaching this for? My son's facing heart surgery, open heart surgery again. I thought I put that away years ago. Oh no, it's brought back up, but I know these bodies fail us. Look at verse 32 in the same scripture, and it says here, "He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us, oh, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Listen to me, what greater demonstration of love? I told you, like John 3:16, for God so loved this world. When the world doesn't love Him, but guess what? He gave His Son that you and I could have salvation, which is the most important thing that I could bring across to preach to any congregation. If I never preach anything else, there's lots of things I could preach on, what's going on out here in the world, what's going on around us in our life, but I'm here to tell you the most important thing that I want to drive home. I want to drive it home more and more as I go. Listen to me. God sent His Son that you and I could be saved if we accept it. So one of these days we can spend eternity in heaven. Talking to Regina this morning, she's talking about both the deaths that happened in their family. She said, one thing I know for sure, that they're in heaven. You know, I told Regina, and she was half crying, and she told me, she said, listen, I said, Regina, we can go to be with them. I wouldn't want to bring them back to this old world. You can go be with them, though. Listen to me. Listen to me right now. You have the opportunity to go with those loved ones one of these days. If they are in heaven right now, you have the opportunity to go there one of these days. Because God made a way through His Son, Jesus Christ. God did not just give Him, He sacrificed Him for us. He sacrificed Him for us. Do you know what? For God didn't spare His Son. Listen to me. We should have been in His place. This is not new scripture. I understand that. We should have been the one taking the punishment. But guess what? He took it all for us. The sentence we deserved, God transferred it to His Son. How many of you have ever had speeding tickets? How many of you in here have ever had parking tickets? How many of you have ever had done something wrong? Wouldn't you have liked if someone would have stepped up in your place and took it for you? Listen to me. I know a God that has done so much more. Jesus said, God, I'll take their place. I'll take their place. The reason was God delivered him for us. Us this morning. Please don't ever doubt the love that God has for his children. Don't ever doubt that. No matter what's going on in your life, please do not doubt that God has a love for his children that goes beyond all measure this morning. I know life can be unfair. I know that. I understand that this morning. We can be like the psalmist over in Psalm 73:3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Do you ever look around sometimes and see maybe people in the world and say, well, it looks like their life is just fine. The world's going on just fine. But here I am, you know, my family's suffering. Things are suffering in my world, and I'm serving God to the best of my ability. Listen to me. I've seen people go through some of the worst of times, experience that life can offer. I've seen that. I've seen people endure hardships and that would cause a common person to listen to crumble. And I've seen those same people stand in the midst of chaos in their life. And yes, I've seen some of them turn their backs on God. I have. I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you. I've seen some of them people turn their backs on God and say, this is what serving God's about. You know what? I don't want to do that anymore. Full of bitterness in their life. Full of bitterness. And then I've seen other people come through it, praising God on the other side of it. Amen. I've seen it both ways. And I'm going to tell you right now, they weren't full of bitterness. They weren't full of all the doubt. They knew that they served a God who is able to bring them through. Just like Joseph in Genesis 50:20 when he said, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is in this day to save much people. If God be for us, who can be against us? I don't know, you know, some of the situations, maybe some of you are going through here this morning. I know some. I've mentioned a few of them, but I'm here to tell you, God has a plan. God has a purpose. I don't know how the end of it's going to be. But I'm here to tell you, if you hang on long enough, you're going to see what God has in store.
Amen. That's right. Praise.
You're going to see what God has in store for you one of these days. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. There's been some people in here whose families have not been what families should be, just to put it to the least. Am I right? There's been things like that, but listen to me. Don't stop loving. Don't stop serving God. Just because of what somebody in this world is trying to remember who's in control. The little god of this world, the Satan of this world is in control of this world. And he does his best to bring us and people around us down. Job lost everything in a single day. We know the scripture. Job lost everything that he had in a single day. Remember John the Baptist? He was executed for pretty much nothing. Just standing up for the right, standing up for what was right. The apostles were beaten, tortured for preaching the gospel. God used the bad in Joseph's life to do what? To get God's purpose for an entire nation. That's what he did. He used the bad in Joseph's life to get for an entire nation. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I can tell you this, it may be to see a loved one saved down the road. It may be to bless you beyond measure one of these days. Anyone who says a Christian life is a bed of roses is lying to you. I'm just here to tell you this morning, they're lying to you. I wouldn't want any other life. I'm going to be first right here to stand and say it. Amen. I wouldn't want any other life, but for me to stand up here and tell you that it's all going to be lollipops and gumdrops the rest of your life, I'm not going to do that because I know better. Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust alike. Listen to me. God is a fair and loving God. He offers salvation to everyone. But He also tells us that the sun is going to shine on the just and the unjust, and rain's going to come on both of us one of these days. We must remember this life is not the end, but it's just a stepping stone to where me and you are going one of these days. Yes, this disease may destroy our bodies, take our loved ones. We grow old and we can't do what we used to do. I understand that. Hebrews 11:10, and I love this when it says, "For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and who has no foundation, whose builder and maker is God." I'm looking for that city. How about you? I thank God every day for what He's given me, but you guess what? This world's not my home. This place is not where it shouldn't be. Our ultimate goal should not be to make this place where our life is at, because guess what? Our life is beyond this. Even if you live to be 100 years old, it is nothing compared to eternity. Nothing compared to eternity. We're looking for that same place one of these days. Listen, remember the trials are just short term. Remember that. Remember what trials and tribulations you're going through down here. They are short term. 1 Peter 1:6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and to honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." The trying of your faith right now, the trying of it, what you're going, is more precious than gold. That's what the Bible tells us. Why? Because when we're tried in the fire, when we're tried like gold, it makes us pure. It makes us more. It should make us more want to grab a hold and go where we need to go. And remember, those trials are only temporary. Do you believe trials can lead to greater blessings? Oh, I believe they can. James 1 and 2, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." Temptation means trials. "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that what? That love him." Yes, trials will lead to greater blessings. You say, "Well, what about down here? This is not our home again." Remember that. Trials can give us a proper perspective too. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome to understand that even as these bodies are breaking down, the inward man is renewed day to day? Isn't that something? And it goes on to say, "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." If in this life was nothing but good, if in this life was nothing but good, and you had everything you wanted, and everything was just rosy and happy, would you look for heaven? Would you look forward to heaven? No. No. Some people say heaven on earth. There's no heaven on earth. I'm here to tell you right now. There's no heaven on earth. Brothers and sisters, we have a place. Praise God. Paul tells us that in this life may be fading away, but eternity is drawing nearer and nearer and nearer. God before us, who can be against us? Each day we live, we get closer to the day when Jesus will call us home. Each day that we live. Brothers and sisters, trials help us to look forward to heaven. And I like it's Romans 8:18. "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed to us." Man alive, one day we will reach heaven sure. I think about this whenever we get there. You know what? I got loved ones over there. I do. I really do. But you know what? I want to see them. Don't get me wrong. But I want to see the one that's going to get me there first. Amen. Don't you?
Praise the Lord. Yes.
I want to see Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to see the one that did everything for me. And I want to see Him standing there. I want to see Him say, "Welcome home, thou good and faithful servant." Don't you want to hear that? Don't you want to hear that one day? I'm here to tell you this morning, I want to hear that. Oh yeah, I want to go see the ones that's went on. I want to go see my sister one of these days. I want to see her. Praise God, I want to see Jesus.
Amen.
I want to see him. I just, whenever I think about that sometimes, it just wells up with me. God gives us strength for every situation. I believe that. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. There's people that say his grace is sufficient. I say amen. His grace is sufficient. His grace will help us get us through. I see the old card every now and then. You know it by heart. When it talks about footprints in the sand. And you know it by heart, but now I hope you do. The man was questioning. He said there was only one set of footprints in the sand. And he said, and you know it. And God tells him, he said, that was me carrying you. I'm here to tell you, God's grace is sufficient. Again, if God be for you, there's no one or nothing or anything that can be against you. No matter what road you're down, no matter what trial comes upon you, if God be for you, there's nothing that can be against you. Amen? As they come and get a song this morning. God knows our every need. He's gracious. He supplies. He supplies everything we need to make it through the trials that we have in this life. And I'm here to tell you this morning that he will do that. If you have something or need in your life this morning, I'm asking you, please come to this altar. If God is dealing with you, come to this altar and let's pray this morning. Let's pray this morning.